I'm Chris Harwood. This is live from Studio A. In the studio today, Kyle Ola comes in. He's been in our studio a couple of times with other people, and he's in today because his first full-length solo album is being released. It's called Used to Wear the Old Straw Hat, but Now You Wear the Crown. He's playing a couple of gigs this week, and he'll be doing a little album release party at Amazing Grace on Saturday night, this Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m. Charlotte Montgomery and Colorblind Lee Johnson will be there as well. And we welcome into our studio. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's been a fairly... so you've been on the scene for quite a while. I'm surprised this is your first solo album.
Me too. Yeah, so I'm happy to kind of get my stuff together and, you know, just did it. So kind of happened fast.
Yeah.
It's nice that way, yeah.
We'll talk more in a minute, but I'd love to have you start with a song.
All right, I'll play a tune here from that from this new record. It's called Fair and Tender Ladies. Come all you fair tender ladies, take a warning while you court young men. They're like a bright star on a cloudy morn. First they appear and then they're gone. I'll tell to you some loving story. Declare to you that their love is true. Straight away they'll court another. And that's the love that they have for you. I wish that I was a little sparrow. I had wings and could fly. I'd fly away to my false true lover. While he talks, I'd sit and cry. And as you can see, I'm no little sparrow. Got no wings and can't fly. I'll sit right here, my grief and sorrow, pass my troubles by and by.
Anyway, Fair and Tender Ladies, great old folk song, and I've heard several versions of that song, of course, with different melody, and each of them with a different melody, and I love the malleability of some of these old-time songs. So did you find that melody on your own? Did you kind of work it out yourself, or is it...
Okay, so it's a tune, it's, yeah, like you say, really popular lyrics. When you get into stuff, you find those lyrics float from tune to tune.
They do.
They're called floaters.
Yeah.
And so the particular melody, though, is from a solo vocal recording by Gene Ritchie out of Kentucky. And so this whole record is all solo vocal tunes, or are at least rooted in that. So that's the kind of stuff I really like to listen to. And what it kind of does for recording is it's kind of like, you know, you have a coloring book and you get to just add the colors you like. Right? So so I made up the chords to what I thought, you know, sounded appropriate or what I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you loosely also related off an Ola Bella Reed tune, the chords. So, anyway.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I figured, too, about, you know, Gene Ritchie with the lap dulcimer. And it's... got a similar timbre to a banjo, but the banjo, of course, offers a lot of other opportunities. Like you say, you kind of find your own way through with the harmonies and the chords. So that's an interesting banjo of yours, by the way. I've seen fretless banjos, I've seen fretted banjos, but yours is a little bit of both.
Yeah.
That's an interesting...
What's going on? Okay, so you guys can't see this, but the first five frets are covered up with a piece of brass, and then, you know, you have your additional frets up into another piece of brass, and that's called the scoop, and the scoop allows me to, well, if you listen to the different timbres, here's by the bridge, and here's up by the on the scoop.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so they scoop it out, and I can play in that kind of more mellow range without bumping into frets. And why there's a piece of brass over the first five frets is so I can play fretless stuff. And if you think about the history of the banjo, it sure didn't have frets when it started. It was a stick and a gourd or something like that. And, you know, it's just one of those things as catalog companies were jumping on banjos, they would try to market them to guitar players.
Sure.
Throw a bunch of frets on them, sell them to guitar players. So it's no different than what happens now.
I feel like it gives a lot more flexibility for pitch bending. And
it does,
yeah.
If you're playing fiddle tunes, there's a lot of those blue notes. And so.
Now, did you? I hear you started off as a fiddler.
No.
Okay, but
I started off as a drummer in punk bands. So
that's remarkably different.
I picked up fiddle just in the last, in my 20s, I picked up the fiddle.
Okay.
So I'm 28 now, so.
Well, you're obviously versatile in several instruments. What do you consider any of them your main instrument right now?
I think my main instrument as a person who plays music solo on the stage, I play the guitar and the banjo. I've tried to do solo fiddle stuff, and it's just something that I think I'll leave to other people to do. But I like playing fiddle with dance bands and old blues music, and so I don't know. I guess I just get in certain moods, and each instrument will, fit that current, state of mind and interest. So in that way, I feel fortunate. I can kind of mess around and stay, fresh. But in the other way, I also admire those musicians who just stuck with their one thing. And, there's also that. So,
yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I think... there's something to be said for a person who could play music on just about anything they find, though, too, So that's great. Yeah, I had no idea you started off as a punk drummer. That's not where I thought I would have found you starting. How did you start in punk, and what made you jump to this style of music?
Well, I think if you show most teenagers a punk record, that's going to excite them. So it was probably something like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty easy transition to get into old-time folk music, just in that they're pretty similar in their intentions, I guess. So without getting too into it, it's just people making music with people. And that used to be a really common thing. Oh, okay. And so before records and stuff were out, you just play music with your friends and neighbors. So I kind of think, with that in mind, that's what all kids do. And so as I, I just guess I haven't left that.
Yeah.
So.
It's great that there's a similarity, too. I mean, I'm not going to say that punk is a simpler form of music at all, but there is something to be said for just jumping straight ahead and not thinking so hard about arranging. As you say, the world of the recording industry in the last 40 years did a lot to put too many layers, I think, on creating music. And there's something to say for just diving right in, so.
Yeah, and I like layers and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But I think I get that question quite a bit, and one answer in my life, I've seen met a lot of people who play folk music now that have a similar story.
Mm.
They started out playing music with their friends and putting on their own shows, and that's, anyways, it's pretty common, but I haven't met a lot of people who started with old time music and then got into punk rock. So I haven't figured that one out yet. But
huh? That would be an interesting musicological study to find somebody who talk to folk musicians or punk musicians, right. and say, how did you start out?
Because you often hear, they're the same thing, but, you know, maybe they're not. I'm not sure.
Some kid who was playing banjo with his father and then heard a punk record and changed everything for him.
Yeah.
Maybe Lou Reed started playing. There's a story about you and train travel and spending time hopping trains. And I got to say, without trying to over-romanticize it, it seems almost like a lost art. And I think about Guthrie and the stories that he would tell about traveling during the Depression on trains and huddling in boxcars in the middle of winter with 50 of the guys like male penguins in the dead of winter trying to stay warm. What was it like for you? What brought you out there on the trains? What made that choice?
You know, I guess I didn't wake up one day and think, I didn't like watch a YouTube channel and was like, oh, I'm going to go ride the boxcars.
Yeah.
But it was another evolution thing. I started traveling, playing with touring bands, you know, as a young kid. And then that opened my scope, what was going on out there. And I met, you know, people who just did that. They just traveled and that was what they did. So I guess that influenced me pretty young. And at some point, I just took to traveling and met a fair amount of people who were not just hitching rides, but they're sitting in train yards and getting in the boxcars and going. So that's kind of, it was just an evolution. And what was it like? It was like nothing else. You know?
Is there a certain savvy that's required to know where you're going, or is it just wherever this one takes me?
You should go with somebody who knows and learn how to read a train. And, so, yeah, you should do that. You know.
Sometimes it seems like it's sort of an open road. You don't know where this train's going, but you'll get there and you'll find it where you are and make your way along. Or perhaps you know this train's only going to go west. This one's going east. This one's going south.
Yeah. Sure. And I think you're, you know, when you're doing that, you should always expect to be surprised. but, you know, there are certain ways to read it. And, but given the nature of it, you just kind of are looking to, you know, be anywhere. So
did I hear you say there were a lot of people traveling that way that were making music? Is that one of the draws for you? Was it
the music was the thing that drew me to travel. Mm-hmm. And then I met a lot of folks that just traveled all sorts of ways to or did all sorts of things while they were traveling to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So music was a pretty common one. Mm-hmm. You can. There's a lot of ways to survive. So music's what I did, and I guess it kind of came full circle at some point. The music part took over a little more, and so got a car. had many cars. They all break down.
Yeah, as they tend to do, new or old, that's for sure. Kyle Ola, his new record coming out this week, has been out. It's a celebration this weekend at Amazing Grace. Used to wear that old straw hat, but now you wear the crown. We'll talk about the record in a second. We'll hear another song if we could.
Yeah, I'll play a tune here that the title of the album comes from. So
I was born and raised in Covington, little town you all know well, brought up by honest parents and the truth. You I'll tell, brought up by honest parents, so young and tenderly, I became a roving boy at the age of 23, and I've met my true love walking. And I shot the poor boy down. That Monday I was arrested, placed in the county jail. My friends all stood around me instead of trying to go my bail. And up stood my kind old father, who was all bound there. coming down again. She's combing down this old gray log, and the tears come rolling down. Said, son, oh son, what have you done that you're bound for Frankfurt town? Used to wear that old straw hat, but now you wear the crown. 14 long years in prison, bound down in Frankfurt town.
Kyle Ola, live in Studio A, here on KMD. That that song, again, has a lot of story behind it. It's one of those songs, I feel like a lot of songs these days are talking about an emotion, or talking about a situation, but not really telling a story that same way. And this style of song with conversation, to me, says so much more. It's questions, it's a dialogue, at the same time, I feel like it's a story you'd hear on the road. This is my name. This is where I'm from. This is what happened. Where do you find your inspiration to pick a particular song? Is it something in the lyrics? Is it something about the melodic possibilities?
I guess particularly it's the melody. I'm pretty attracted to the melodies of things. So you could almost put any line on a melody and it would be okay, a good melody. So, but a lot of those old songs, you know, they have these lyrics from, you know, anonymous donors, and in that way, it's always, you know, there's an added mystery and kind of excitement, because who wrote this thing? Maybe what were they going through, or was it topical at the time? So on and so on. So, but typically, I'm pretty attracted to melodies, which is why I like these old a cappella songs. It's nothing but, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I often wonder, too, if they're true. You know?
Yeah, who knows?
Was this a real story? Is this,
And it's kind of, you know, there's all these old Robin Hood ballads. I'm not sure if you know, but a ton of these great old, and people have researched and dug and dug and dug where they find gravestones of the Robin Hood or Robin Hood or so on. And this point, it's like, you're missing the point.
Well, and you know, you go to those child ballad books, you find variation, variation, variation of all the Black Jack Davies, as you say, all these different, you know, sort of thief in the night. And,
yes, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, just because I'm not a folklorist, I'm just a fan. And so I don't really think I need to know who said what, when. It's just that it was said is enough. So,
So this record now, as I say, you've been out and about for some time. You've collaborated with lots of people. You've done some film work, providing music for some regional films. You've done a lot of things. Now you've put out a solo record. I feel like you should have had one out by now, but this is a great project, and these first two songs are a great example of that. What finally brought you in to do a solo album?
Number of things. The main thing was play it out a lot, and people wanted to have an album of what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. And I do have a record with my pal Mumblin' Drew, but it's old blues and string band. And I had a little EP that I recorded last 2016, I guess, three songs. And so I thought, I guess I ought to have a record. So it was really just that. And the main thing that, I guess, was just financial stuff. So I applied for a grant and got a grant through the ARAC to do it, and I think to do it right. And so I got to collaborate with Michelle Bennett over at Wolf Skull Creative, and she was super patient with my vision of making it look like an old folk ways record. And so that was fun. And recorded with Tom Fabchance, so it was good.
It totally does. I'm looking at the cover and I'm thinking, yeah, it does look like an old folkways record. Nicely done.
She's good.
Did you, you were saying before how making a song fit for you, that you were sometimes trying some things out or kind of working your way into the song a little bit. Did you come into the studio with these ready formed? I mean, was it really a representation of your gig, for example? Did you have these things well rehearsed because you've been playing them for a couple of years? Or did you come in with a bit more of a blank page?
So here's kind of where my theory falls flat in front of everybody, because into the studio, what I had just previously said is I was playing music live and people wanted to buy something and I didn't have it, so I thought I'd go record. And as I got into doing that, I had many handfuls of songs that I don't play live, because mostly where I play is noisy bar rooms. And, I would never play that song or the song I played previously in a bar, or if I did, you know, it would get swallowed, which is fine too. But so actually I'd kind of made a collection of, give myself kind of a project, get a collection of songs that were solo vocal songs that were something that I thought were interesting that maybe you wouldn't hear normally at a show of mine.
Mm. I think about Jonathan Richmond, who used to play quietly on purpose so people would just be quiet too. He'd bring the noise of the room down to so they could find him, you know. Well, I don't know. I would expect I could hear these in a bar anytime. So sure. Maybe you'll find they have some life there.
Sure. I'll give it a shot.
So you're playing this Saturday at Amazing Grace. You're also doing a gig on Thursday up in Grand Marais, the Voyager Brewing Company, and Friday at Castle Danger Brewery in Two Harbors. So it's sort of a shoreline tour for you coming into Saturday night.
It is, yeah. And I'll be selling records at all the shows, so I'm not waiting till the release to move them. But the release at the Grace is the party. I definitely grew up going to the Grace, seeing folk musicians come through town, and yeah. it just feels like that place for me. So
I should ask, did you grow up in the Duluth area, or were you?
Yeah, we grew up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the film work. We'll get to the song in a second, but I want to hear about the collaborations you've done on a couple of films you mentioned on your website. I watched the film about the state hospital in Fergus Falls.
Yeah.
Interesting film called Today I'm Going to Kill Myself, But First I'm Going to Dance. What a title. And then also a film called In the Shadow of Paul Bunyan. How did you find your way into helping create Film Underscore? That's a fascinating gig.
Yeah, it was great. It was a palette. I'll just kind of pull it all together. I did grow up here, and I went out to Perpich, just to the Perpich Arts High School for music. And that was just a great experience because I got to meet people my age that were crazy about whatever it was they were crazy about. So I had went for music, but a pal of mine that I made there, Nick Nurburn, who now lives in Duluth, he was there for media arts. So we didn't collaborate then, but we've been collaborating since. So he kind of sprung up that idea, in the Shadow of Paul Bunyan first, and then it worked real well. So I've just been kind of making music for his videos since then, and it's easy. It's just nice, and he trusts what I do, and so that makes it easy. And similar project for him is I wanted to kind of record some music that was maybe a little more obscure instrumental fiddle tunes, so that maybe you wouldn't hear at your local, Tamarack dance or something.
Yeah.
So,
boy, would that all collaborations work that well? So. They don't often. So.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, well, let's hear another song.
All right. Just gotta get this thing right there. So I was just in, banjos have a lot of tunings. I was just in a tuning called the Cumberland Gap tuning, and now I'm in a tuning called Sawmill. And this tune here is called I Wouldn't Mind Dying If Dying Was All. I wouldn't myself. I wouldn't mind dying, I've got to go by myself. Said I wouldn't mind dying, got to go by myself. I wouldn't mind dying if dying was all. Said I wouldn't mind dying, got to be dead so long. Wouldn't mind dying, I've got to be dead so long. Said I wouldn't mind dying, got to be dead so long. I wouldn't mind dying if dying was all. See the king, glory, glory, I'm gonna see the king. It's glory, glory, gonna see the king. I wouldn't mind dying if dying was all. Said I wouldn't mind dying, I gotta go by myself. I wouldn't mind dying, I've gotta go by myself. Said I wouldn't mind dying, got to go by myself. I wouldn't mind dying if dying was all.
Studio A here on 103.3 KMD. That's a song, again, that just takes me someplace else. Well, what a conversation he's having with himself in that one. I'm kind of drawn into why, how he got to that point. What an interesting question. Where did you find that one?
I found it on a prison compilation and have lost it. I haven't been able to find it. So, I'm glad I memorized it. I'm glad I learned it because I don't know where it went. So, but it is a kind of a common, the wouldn't mind dying if dying was all, that lyric. It pops up, and the Carter Family made a folk song out of it. It's around.
It's interesting that that particular source, though, is kind of lost at this point. You think in this age of Google and YouTube that nothing could possibly be lost. But I had a friend, a musicologist some years back, who was talking about how a lot of music from the beginning of the century is still so fragile. You know, there's a chance that the threads could really disappear, you know?
Sure. And if anybody just wants to take their digital song offline, it's gone, right? If the YouTube channel gets turned off or an archive from a college gets discontinued, so on. So you really, I talk about what I'm doing and what a lot of folks are doing is like a neo-oral tradition. And so where you're learning music orally and it's just there's kind of a person removed or the, you know, it's this weird postmodern way of doing it, but it is an oral tradition, and that tune, I guess, thinking about it right here, right now, is an interesting example where I learned it orally, and it's gone. Just like, let's say, I learned a tune from you, and you left town. It's like I better learn that thing, otherwise, I gotta go find that guy.
Yeah.
I think. I try to keep that mindset as much as I can when I'm learning music, and it's really helped me. I've learned a lot of music just sitting down and playing with people and with recordings, and it's a good exercise if you're trying to do folk music or classical. You know, getting the stuff inside of you and digesting it is important.
It's interesting too that recorded music's only 120 years old, and that that we rely on that in some ways that they never were able to before, and yet it's still some ways so ephemeral. You know, it can just evaporate. So glad you found that one. So, and it's on your new record, so that's great.
Yeah.
Record's called Used to Wear That Old Straw Hat, But Now You Wear the Crown. And Kyle Ullaworth, so glad you came in today. Thanks so much.
For
this
me.
Is great. Kyle Ola will be appearing at Amazing Grace on Saturday from 6 to 8. And he'll also be on Thursday up in Grand Marais at the Voyager Brewing Company from 5 to 8 p.m. And then Castle Danger Brewery in Two Harbors on Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. This is live from Studio A, produced by Christine Dean. I'm Chris Harwood. Funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. You can check out upcoming guests, listen to previous sessions, or you can go to kmd.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KMD. Thanks for listening.